So good to be back home, to be able to worship together, and thankful for all the prayers that were offered as I was in India preaching there and doing the work that was before us there. But to be home is always a blessing, and it's good to see everyone. I thank you for all of every expression of your prayers and your concern and your fellowship in the preaching of the gospel here and in other places. I started to say I was going to change my sermon. That's my prerogative, but I'm not going to. We're going to study this morning about Jesus, the Son of God. And as Matthew 22 sets out, Jesus posed a question that they could not answer because they had yet to grasp a fundamental point, and that was that the Messiah would not merely be a descendant of David in the flesh, but that in fact he would be the very Son of God, that he would be David's Lord. The point made there is critical and central to our study this morning, inasmuch as not everyone has the right understanding about Jesus being the Son of God. The need for sound doctrine is very real. False doctrine destroys lives and destroys souls. And we could give multiple examples of that in a variety of ways. For example, teaching that the resurrection is already past, Paul said, was overthrowing the faith of some in his day in 2 Timothy 2, verses 16 through 18. And so he urged Timothy to, on the one hand, be diligent to present himself approved unto God by rightly dividing the word of truth, so as not to be an ashamed workman before God. But then he says, shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. It ought to matter to us when people stray from the truth. You know, Paul was willing to identify those who had strayed from the truth so as to protect the faith of some and warn those whose faith was being overthrown to return to the faith once for all delivered to the saints. When God's people arrive at a point in their supposed greater spirituality and faith that they're unwilling to identify error and those who teach it, then they've gone beyond the sound doctrine of Jesus Christ. Amen. So it is with the matter of the Son of God. It's central to our faith. Who is the Son of God? Jesus, the Son of God, is central to what we believe. It is the very confession that we make prior to being cleansed of our sins by His blood, that we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet, there are, as I said, a variety of false doctrines about Jesus being the Son of God. And there's one that evidently some of our brethren in India are being disturbed by, and was asked about just a couple of days ago, earlier in the week, and so I just thought we'd better put together a lesson for them and for us too, to remind ourselves that we not take for granted who Jesus is, that it will help us better understand what our faith is. Because you see, what we believe about Jesus will determine then how we live our lives. How every day we will make a choice relative to Jesus. That He is real. That He is the very Son of God. That He was not merely a good man with good teachings, had some good things to say, did some good things while on earth, but now He's dead and that was way in the past and that's not relevant to us today. Such is an irreverent, ungodly, unfaithful view, unbelieving, skeptical view of Jesus. That is against the evidence and certainly not what God's people ought to believe. There are some who, in fact, just to before we go further, to elaborate and explain, it seems that some are teaching that Jesus really wasn't the Son of God until He ascended into heaven and sat down at God's right hand. So He really wasn't the Son of God on earth, but that He was Son of God when He was resurrected and then coronated or exalted at the right hand of God. What does the Bible say about that? Was Jesus the Son of God on earth or only after He left the earth? It makes a difference what we believe about this. You might say, well, what matter? What difference does it make? Well, it makes a difference, number one, because the error that's being taught about that is disrupting the faith of some. And number two, we need to have sound faith ourselves. We need to be sure of what we understand and know about Jesus in these matters. The expression "son of," or as used in "son of God," means and it refers to sameness. It refers to a shared trait. It speaks of equity or equality in some respects, some shared characteristic. For example, the Bible talks about James and John as being called sons of thunder. Remember one time they were ready to and asking, "Shall we call down lightning from heaven to destroy this Samaritan village that refused to receive us?" Luke 9:54. There's something about them that was explosive, and so they were described sons of thunder in a figurative sense. Not that they were really the offspring of thunder. Sons of peace. A son of peace is referred to in Luke 10:6. If a son of peace is there, as Jesus sent the 70 out two by two before him to the villages and cities where he would go. He said, if a son of peace is there, then abide there. Here's someone of a peaceful disposition, someone who is receptive. And so they were referred to as a son of peace. So in the same way, the son of God, the expression son of God refers to Jesus' nature. His nature in relation to deity, in his relation to God. It emphasizes the deity of Jesus Christ. In John 5, verses 17 and 18, we read a passage that was very, very objectionable to the Jewish audience, to the point that the Jewish leaders began to seek to kill him for it, because he was calling God his Father. It says, Jesus answered them and said, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." The Jews therefore sought the more to kill him, not only because he not only broke the Sabbath, of course he broke their concept of it, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So in Jesus' reference to God as his Father and himself as the Son of God, even his enemies acknowledged and understood that he is claiming for himself deity. Now, it would have been very easy for Jesus at that point to simply tell his enemies, "You are mistaken. Calling God my Father and saying I'm the Son of God, that doesn't mean I share the nature of God. No, you've misunderstood. I'm not really the Son of God right now." But never do we see Jesus saying that or anything close to that. Someone might say, well, now what does it mean that the Father is greater than the Son? Well, that simply is a reference to the Son's submission in the flesh to the Father and to the Father's will. John 13:16, passage says, "Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. Neither is he who sent greater than he who sent him." Jesus, the Son, was sent by the Father to do the will of the Father. And Jesus acknowledges that in John 14:28. "You heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." The Father was greater than the Son because the Son was sent by the Father. But again, Jesus acknowledges he's the Son. And he doesn't say, "I will be the Son," but he is the Son on the earth, and Jesus fully submitted himself in the flesh to the Father's will, and thus could rightly say, "The Father is greater than I." Now, we're not going to go further into that, but that's a very brief answer to that point. What I do want us to see is an answer to this question: was Jesus the Son of God on earth? First of all, there was a Son promised in prophecy. Time and again, God made particular prophecies to people that a son was going to be sent. In Genesis 22:18, God would tell Abraham, "In your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you've obeyed my voice." Galatians 6:16 identifies that seed as Christ. So there would be a descendant of Abraham, and the fulfillment of that promised descendant is, of course, Jesus. Now, we get a little more specific in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 16. And that is, God promises David a son who would rule over God's kingdom. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I'll set up your seed after you who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I'll chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. God promises to build David a house. And he would build this house over which God's son would rule. So when David would be given a son, it would be God's son. When David's seed would come after him, that seed, God says, is going to be my son. Now, Solomon is the immediate fulfillment of that, but there is a messianic fulfillment. In the New Testament, it is explained to us that Jesus is the fulfillment. The Messiah is the fulfillment of this, and that Jesus is the Messiah. And noting again, he said, I'm going to send a son. He's going to be my son. David's seed is going to be my son. Now, remember, Jesus' question in Matthew 22, what about the Christ? Whose son is he? God had told them prophetically the Messiah was going to be the Son of God. But all they could understand was that, and willing to accept, was that he was the Son of David. Yes, he was the Son of David in the flesh, but he was more than that. He was David's Lord. He was the Son of God. Now look at Luke 1, 33. Behold, you will conceive. This is Gabriel speaking to Mary. You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. He will be called the Son of God, you see. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, just as David was promised in 2 Samuel 7. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. Gabriel says Jesus will be the fulfillment of the promise God made to David. But he's going to be the Son of the Highest. He's going to be Son of the Most High God. Not merely a descendant of David in the flesh, Mary being a descendant herself of David, satisfying that aspect, but that in fact he would be this son of prophecy, and he would be the Son of God. In Isaiah 9 in verse 6, the passage says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice." Note, he's going to be sitting on the throne of David, just like Luke 1 said, of this one that Mary would give birth to, this son who would be the son of David, but be the son of the Most High, the Son of God. Jesus is the fulfillment of this. The son that would be given would be the very Son of God. Not in prospect, not after he's ascended into heaven, not after his resurrection. He would be the Son of God here on earth. Matthew 1:20 says, "While he thought about these things, when Joseph considered putting away Mary privately, because she was found with child before they had come together, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son." There's that prophecy being fulfilled again. "And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." Isaiah 7:14, the angel said, would be fulfilled in the Son. But the Son that would be given would be Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Mighty Counsel, Wonderful, Mighty. You see, a son that would be given would be more than just the seed of our Son of David. He would Himself be deity. He would be God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Not God with us in prospect, but He would be the Son of God on the earth. Psalm 2, 6-8. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion, God said prophetically. The nations raged, they conceived a vain thing to try to keep God's King off His throne, to kill Him on the cross. That's the fulfillment of this prophecy discussed in the New Testament. Yet God brought about His purposes. He set His King upon His holy hill of Zion. But now watch verse 7. Here's the Messiah saying, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my Son. Today I've begotten you. Now some have taken that to say, well, He really didn't become the Son until He was begotten by being put over the kingdom. His ascension. No. It is the Son who is set forth and declared to be the King. The Son didn't become the Son when He became the King. The Son became the King as He's declared to be such by His resurrection from the dead. Fulfillment's found in Acts 13, 32 and 33. God fulfilled this to us, their children, in that He raised up Jesus. And He quotes Psalm 2. You see, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power through the resurrection of the dead, Romans 1 and 4. His resurrection was God the Father's great declaration that Jesus of Nazareth is His Son. Didn't make Him the Son. It was the Father's declaration that He is the Son of God. And that's the difference and the distinction that needs to be made. Jesus is certainly the Son of God on earth as well as in heaven. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God on earth. Let's look at a couple of passages on this. Now, going back to John 5 very briefly. Someone wants to begin to reject that Jesus while on earth is the Son of God, then John 5th chapter is an important place to go. Because you see, when He called God His Father, He was making Himself equal with God. He was claiming the same nature as God. He was claiming to have been sent by the Father, that He is the Son. The Father has a Son. He's the Son. Jesus says, He's my Father. Now look at the equity here as they want to kill Him because He's saying this. Jesus claimed the same work as the Father in verses 19 through 21. Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. You see, instead of objecting and saying, oh no, you've got it wrong, I'm not the Son yet. He accepted this description. The Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does. And He will show Him greater works than these that you may marvel. As the Father raises the dead and gives life to Himself, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. So here's the Son doing the same work under the same love and accomplishing the same purposes as the Father. Secondly, He says, verse 22, the Father judges no one but has committed all judgment to the Son. So the Son has the same judgment as the Father. Doing the same work, having the same judgment. He's to have the same honor, verse 23, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. So the Son, Father sent the Son. The Son was on the earth doing the work of the Father, revealing the judgment of the Father, and is due the same honor as the Father. And He gives the same kind of life as the Father. Verse 24, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me. So that hears the Son's word and believes the Father who sent Him has everlasting life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. More assuredly, I say to you that the hour is coming and now is that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. He says the hour now is. While He was speaking to them, teaching to them, while He was on the earth, He was giving life through His Word. He claimed to be the Son of God. giving that life. Because He claimed the same authority, verse 27, as the Father. He's given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Jesus was human, but He was also, as the passage clearly shows and keeps on showing, is deity. Son of God is an expression of the deity of Jesus. He had the very nature of God, that He was God, and on the earth, God with us. John 10:30-38. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." And the Jews took up stones again to stone Him, trying to kill Him. Jesus answered, "Many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" And the Jews answered Him, saying, "For good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. For that you, being a man, make yourself God." By saying, "I and my Father are one," they said, "What you're doing is making yourself equal with God." Jesus is expressing that His purpose, His will, His nature was the same as the Father's. He and the Father were one. And they said, "Blasphemy. You're a man and you're saying you're God." You see, to call God His Father and to say that they were one was to say He was the Son of God. That's how Jesus explains it in that text. Let's just go down to verse 36 and look how what he says. Now, first of all, he says, you're accusing me of blasphemy because I make myself God. Verse 33. That's what they said. You're making yourself God. And so now in verse 36, he says, "Do you say of Him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God?" Now, where did he say, "I'm the Son of God"? Well, verse 30, when he called God his Father. You see, when he said, "I'm one with the Father." Jesus said, explains what he means in verse 30. When he said, "I and the Father are one," what I'm saying is, "I'm the Son of God." You don't like that. You don't believe that. And you're trying to kill me because of it. But that's who I am, Jesus says. I'm the Son of God. Not will be. Not someday, I am the Son of God when He was on the earth. See? So a doctrine that says Jesus didn't become the Son of God until He was resurrected and ascended misses the boat. That's error. That's not what the Bible teaches. We already looked at Matthew 22:42-45. The Son of David is also David's Lord because you see He is deity. He is God with us. He is Emmanuel. He is that Son who became flesh and is the very Son of God. But I want you, just briefly with me, and we may not read all these verses, but I want you to just go through a list, and I'm sure this is probably not exhaustive to you, probably add to this, but I want you to show you how time and time and time again Jesus is shown to be and known to be the Son of God when He was on the earth. Think about this. Satan knew Jesus was the Son. So when he tempted Jesus, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones turn into bread. And if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, because His angels will bear you up." Satan used the temptation as an opportunity to try to get Jesus to sin against the will of the Father. "If you're the Son of God." Satan knew He was the Son of God. Not that He would be, but He was when He was on the earth. Demons knew Jesus was the Son. Matthew 8:29. What have we to do with you, thou Holy One of God? In fact, I think this particular verse uses the expression. That's why we have it here. It says, Matthew 8:29. "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" The demons acclaimed Jesus. They knew He was the Son of God then. And any doctrine that says otherwise is not even believing what the demons believe. Holy Spirit revealed that Jesus is the Son in John 1:18, when through John the Apostle He said, "No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." The Son has declared the Father. So the Holy Spirit made it clear Jesus was the Son when He became flesh, the Son of God, and He revealed the Father. John the Baptist declared Jesus to be the Son of God. John 1:34, John said, "I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Not that this will be the Son of God. After He dies and is resurrected, then He'll be the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Now, look at verse 30. "This is He of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" You see, it's an expression of His deity. He came after John in the flesh, born after John, but He was before John. He'd be preferred before, and He has rank higher than John because, you see, He's God. He's deity. He's the Son of God. Nathanael confessed Jesus to be the Son of God in John 1:49. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You are the Son of God." No, Nathanael, you've got it wrong. "I'm going to be the Son of God, but not right now." It's not what he said, is it? Very clear. Jesus' miracles testified that He's the Son of God. Remember, John said, "Many other signs did Jesus that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ." Who? "The Son of God. And that believing you may have life in His name." His miracles testified of who He was when He worked them, not something that He would be after He was resurrected from the dead. Peter confessed Jesus to be the Son of God. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The Father, by the words and the works that He gave the Son to do, and that the Son was doing, testified that Jesus is God's Son. See, that's for example, John 8:18. John 8:18 says, "I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." The Father was bearing witness of Jesus through the prophets, through the work of John, through the words and the works of Jesus Himself. Peter assessed the evidence and drew the conclusion and testified, confessed, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." How easy it would have been for Jesus to say, "Peter, you're almost right. I'm going to be the Son of God one day, but I'm not yet." And that's not at all what He said. He said, "You're blessed. And upon that rock, upon this rock, that I'm the Son of God, I'll build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." The enemies of Jesus knew that He claimed to be the Son of God. They used this as their argument to put Him to death before Pilate. In John 19:7, the Jews answered Him, "We have a law, and according to our law He ought to die because He made Himself the Son of God." He made Himself the Son of God. They didn't perceive Jesus as saying, "I'll be the Son of God," but that He made Himself to be the Son of God. In Mark 14:61-62, when he stood before the Jews in His trial, He accepted this. And when He was before the Sanhedrin, in Mark 14:61-62, Jesus accepted this description. He kept silent and answered nothing, but the high priest asked Him, saying to Him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Are you the Son of God?" And Jesus said, "I am. I am. I am the Son of God on earth." The centurion, when he saw all the things that had happened, and Jesus was now dead, said, "Surely, truly, this man was the Son of God." Paul said the Son loved him and gave Himself for him. The Son gave Himself. Now think about it. The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. It is the Son of God who gives Himself as a sacrifice. Couldn't do that if He wasn't yet the Son. How could the Son give Himself if He wasn't yet the Son of God? See? In 1 John 3:8, John the Apostle said God sent His Son I note that, and that's important. God sent His Son. He didn't send Jesus to become the Son one day after His resurrection. It says, "He who sins is the devil, is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." The Son of God was revealed to destroy the devil's works of sin. Look at chapter 4 and verse 10. "And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." He sent His Son to be the means of appeasing God's wrath against our sin. Was Jesus the Son of God on earth? Absolutely. Unequivocally. He was the Son of God on earth. His resurrection was a declaration to the world that He is the very Son of God. That's not when He started being the Son. No, in no means. Look at Hebrews 1 and verse 2. On the other side of this, there's some brethren that seem to be unwilling to accept that the Son of God was the Son of God before He was actually born into the world. But Hebrews 1 says, "God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds." So now, the Son made the worlds. We cannot, and we are not being consistent with the Word of God to say, well, Jesus became the Son of God the moment He was born into the world, but until then He was not the Son. Hebrews 1:2 says it's through the Son that God made the worlds. John 1:1-3, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that's been made." And verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Begotten of the Father, the unique, one of the kind, Son of God. If there's a Father, there's a Son. He's the Son. The Word became flesh. He created the worlds through the Son. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." There's the Godhead. There's the Father and the Son. In John 1:18, "No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who's in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." You see, Jesus, the Son of God, is the complete expression, the complete manifestation, revelation of the Father to us. He through Him, the worlds were created. Through Him, we have propitiation for our sins. He is the very Son of God in creating and also in creating us as new creatures, saved from our sins. In Hebrews 1 and verse 3, go back to that passage. It says of the Son, who is the heir of all things and through whom God made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Son created the worlds. The Son is the heir of all things. The Son purged our sins. The Son has sat down at God's right hand. And it is the Son who is the brilliance of the very glory of God. He is the express image, the perfect manifestation of God's essence, of God's glory, of God's nature, of His deity. If we want to see the Father, we look at the Son. How do you say, "Show us the Father"? "He who's seen Me has seen the Father," Jesus said. How can you say, "Show us the Father"? In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You want to know God, know Jesus, His Son, the very Son of God, through whom the worlds were made, who is the heir of all things, who can purge your sins through His blood on the cross, and who now reigns at the right hand of God. This is the Son of God. He came, He approached the Ancient of Days, and He sits at God's right hand, even as Acts 7, 55 and 56 says. Stephen seeing that. So was Jesus the Son of God on earth? Yes, He was. The doctrine that Jesus was not the Son of God on earth is an utterly false doctrine. simply does not bear the scrutiny of truth. 1 John 5:20. We know the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. See, the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and that we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus did not come to become the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And He came that we might know God, and that we might be saved from our sins through His death on the cross for our sins. 1 John 2:22 says, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also." This is why the answer to the question is important. If we deny the Son, we deny the Father. We are against Christ. We are opposed to the gospel of Christ. We are against God. If we claim that Jesus is in fact at some time not the Son of God. Amen. Look. Jesus, or the Son, the expression "Son of God" is never used in the New Testament to say that the Father existed before the Son, or in some way brought the Son into existence. That's simply not what the expression means, not what it carries. Never used that way. Son of God is never used in the New Testament to say there was some time while Jesus was on earth that He was not the Son of God. The question is, will we confess that He is the Son of God and then live a life that professes that confession? We confessed when we became Christians that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Christ. Now, when we make that acknowledgement, our lives are to conform to that confession. And so we're baptized into Christ for the sins, our sins to be washed away, but then we're raised to walk in newness of life, a life that now acknowledges Jesus is the Son of God. He's at God's right hand. He has all authority. And we submit in humble obedience to Him. If you're not a Christian, you need to begin that life today. Confess He's the Son of God. Repent of your sin. Be baptized into Christ. His blood is your propitiation. God sent His Son so that God's wrath could be appeased and you could be saved from your sins. If you're a Christian and you haven't been living to express that faith, you've been sinning against the Son of God, we urge you to repent. Return to a heart, change your heart to a heart of submissive obedience. With a repentant heart, confess your sin to God and He'll forgive you. We can help you accomplish God's will in your life. Won't you come while we stand and sing? The king of the earth passed away one by one.